everybody, it's the Happy Half Hour, which we pre-tape on Wednesday and air on Friday. So congratulations, Dodgers, for winning the World Series, really, from the bottom of my heart. The person who you may or may not have heard based on how we record this is one of your favorites, one of my favorites, TYT OG Mark Thompson. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, kids. It's a pleasure to be here. And I have to say, best music on TYT. And well, the TYT music is a competitive field because I understand it's constantly changing. But I'm just saying that that vibe that you've laid down, it's actually gotten me to pour a little bit of a drink as I enjoy your, I know you start this effort usually by yourself. You kind of have some remarks and I'll enjoy those opening remarks as I sip this wine from this oversized glass, which isn't even the biggest glass in the house, but it's the biggest glass I could find.
Sir, what the way that you handle it just proves that you know what you're doing. Like, I can't hold a wine. I hold a wine glass. I've got these like stemless martini situations. If it were a wine glass, I'd hold it like this.
Yeah.
And I can't. And I've always wanted to master what you're doing, which is the hold. And it's like there's an angle, that angle right there. That angle is an expert's angle.
Well, I was really unaware of my expertise, but now I've become a little bit self-conscious, maybe a little proud of my expertise. I'll tell you one thing. There's a reason that there's a stem to wine glasses. And the reason is, of course, that to hold it in your hand is to have the beverage warmed by your body temperature. And that apparently, among wine aficionados, is a problem. It changes the consistency of the wine. So they built this stem thing in there so you can hold the wine and actually drink the wine without ever having to make contact with the glass and changing that chemical makeup.
So for mice, that's amazing. And I believe you, whether you were totally bullshitting or not.
Oh, that's really true. But I did say it in a way you would wonder.
I thought that the wine glass stem was so that something could poke out the bottom as you clutch the glass to cling to hope. And it would just be like, you can then keep doing clutching it as you place it on the ground and then bring it back up to your lips and just be like, oh, I need this.
That is an acceptable alternative explanation.
Thank you for that. The explanation for the music, to be honest, and I don't know if everyone knows this. Thank you for pointing it out, acknowledging the beauty of that. It was chosen by my wife, the lovely V. Brooke Marks, who chose as I was freaking out over a number of things. She's like, here's three tracks, just use them. And we use them. That's what we do. But it does have the best musical instrument in my estimation is the Hammond organ, which is there's a spinning situation going on inside it. Fantastic. So thank you for.
Was there an actual Hammond who created the Hammond organ? Must be, right?
John Hammond, the same man who invented Jurassic Park.
Now that I don't believe, but I like the way you said it.
Yeah, no, I think Hammond is a person. The same way it's like the, I don't know.
The Les Paul, like the Les Paul guitar.
Exactly.
Absolutely, Hammond's a person. Someone will know. Someone in our TYT audience will know.
Please, there is and for everyone who's a TYT fan, they're on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, there's a TYT fan who works at Guitar Center, who I've talked to, who will know the answer. So there's that.
Oh, sure.
I do want to check in with you, Mark, to see how you've held up during the quarantine. And this is a great opportunity to do that in our segment, Stay Safe, Stay Sane. Another great tune chosen by Alex in this situation. Alex, super producer and editor, Predator. She does everything.
Well done.
I did reach out to some folks out there to ask how they're staying safe and staying sane. So if you see my tweets on Wednesday, that's what this is about. And so I'm going to go through some and then we'll find out how Mark's holding on. So the Ritual of Chad says, seeing you on Friday TDR live. Thank you, Chad, for that. I'm not bold enough to take that photo of myself and make it my avatar. Did everyone see that? Did everyone get a chance to see Chad? Is he mid-ritual? I don't know. Speaking of psychedelic experiences, Long Beach Huntington says, mushrooms. Good. I hope you're speaking of the umami variety and maybe the psychedelic. Who knows? And then Hades Kitty says this, and it was AOC's Twitch stream, which essentially broke the entire Twitch everything. That she had 400,000 people watching at once with Ilhan Omar, Pokimane, Myth, and Hassan Piker, who organized the whole thing, which he's grown up. Mark, how are you holding up during this whole thing? You've been through a lot this year. Your house nearly burned down.
Yes.
You had to move. How are you holding up, sir?
It's been, I'm doing okay. It's been a wild year. You're right. My neighborhood burned. And you know who moved into my neighborhood two doors up, right as I was moving out? Is Travis Scott. You know, Travis Scott, the hip hop artist, he's got McDonald's meal named after him. You know, he's one of the Kardashian baby daddies. He's a, you know, got a lot going on. He's got a lot more moving parts to his life.
Did you meet Travis Scott during all of this?
No, I didn't. But I saw his people roll. He rolls heavy, if you know what I mean. He rolls deep. He rolls with a bunch of security people. He's got a stylist and a designer. And I mean, there's like a, I don't know, a flotilla of people who come onto this small street. And he's living in a 20,000 square foot home. My home is a small home, really tiny. And you know, my home could fit in his foyer, you know. But I was worried. This is how the whole world of, you know, my world just has taken all these sideways moves. I was worried that when the word got out that he was moving into the neighborhood, that the person who was buying my house, because we were close to, you know, the closing date where everything is done, I was worried they were going to go, hey, you know what, man, we don't want to be around big parties, or we don't want to be around hip hop, or whatever their thing would be. And they just didn't want to be around that. And but they didn't. They thought it was cool, which is great. Yes. So, and it is kind of cool in a way. It's just, I'm saying, I didn't meet him, and I met everybody else. I mean, he's all of his people. So he's moved in. We moved out. I had to move to Venice, California temporarily. I lived 40 feet from a homeless encampment for 10 months.
Yes, I also lived in Venice. That is how it is.
Venice is a little bit funky. There was a shooting, a double murder to a block from me during the time I was there. So it's a funky world. Now we've moved away again and we're trying to settle in. And honestly, my biggest concern is I've got a cat that's really sick. And it sounds weird with all that stuff I just mentioned, but I'm so moved by this poor cat's plight that it, you know, takes a lot of emotion in me to even think about anything else. And he's been sick for a long time, but I'm just hoping that I'm doing the right thing. So I've got a whole situation with his care that I'm worried about. So anyway, but the answer is truly, you know, apart from that, it's been okay. I mean, I'm happy. I've got a radio show. I can do the radio show from remote studios, and you know, I can do TYT this way. So, I mean, Brett, when you think about it, Brett, I mean, I know it's like, oh, I feel so lucky. I feel so blessed, man. Hashtag blessed. But it is true that I do feel fortunate that I still am gainfully employed or otherwise connected to the world without there being too many interruptions. So things are pretty good.
I just want to say that your setup is sexy. Is that weird to say? Your setup is so sexy. It's like what is that, velvet? You got like velvet curtain situation.
This is like, it's funny you say that. I think it feels like Vegas showroom meets Magic Castle. Meets,
yes.
Don't you expect
I would have sex with both those things.
Think of a card, any card. All right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm there.
But I like that you think it's sexy. All right.
It is. I like red is bold. When I was in college, I was an idiot. And my buddy and I were like, we should paint our room and we'll paint it back at the end of the term, but we're going to paint it red. And then we did one coat and it looked terrible. But I was like, this is brooding and I'm interesting.
Who's the guy who played the father in Back to the Future?
Skip, you know this.
Crispin Glover.
There it is.
Crispin Glover. Okay, so very well done. So apparently, I know a girl who dated him for a short time. He painted his entire place black on the inside, which is a very bold move.
I like places that are black on the outside. Whenever I see a house, someone paints it black, I'm like, that's probably pretty smart for some energy reason, not just like in terms of like your Edison bill, but also like there's an energy to it. There's one on in my neighborhood that's very awesome looking. Anyways, speaking of awesome things, we have a lot of awesome things to talk about. The whole show normally has like a bunch of different segments. We're just gonna talk about the best things ever of the week because there's so many of them. There will be a presidential dance contest later. Stick around, we got more when we return. All right, it is time to talk about the best things ever that are happening this week. There's so many of them that the show is all that from here on out. The best things ever of the week. We're here with Mark Thompson, and essentially, Mark, I don't know if you're familiar with the Senator Lindsey Graham, are you?
No, tell me about him.
So ridiculous. So I always ask people, and follow HHH on TYT. I'm gonna start tweeting from there to ask folks where like what's getting them through the week. So at HHH on TYT. But one response that we got for what's keeping you sane, I think it's Ennis Smith who said Lindsey Graham begging for money. And this is a thing that is fantastic. In essentially a race that is a dead heat in South Carolina, Lindsey Graham has been going around everywhere asking for money. And it has gone to like a new level this week. But to give you an idea of how much he's getting out raised at essentially a 2-to-1 margin, here is Lindsey Graham going from show to show, begging people to donate to his campaign.
I can tell you there's a lot of money being raised in this campaign. I'd like to know where the hell some of it's coming from, but that's not your problem.
I'm getting outraised 3-to-1, outspent 4-to-1. If you want to help me fight back, go to lindseygraham.com. $5 or $10 from half your audience would fill in the gap that I'm facing.
I'm being killed financially. This money is because they hate my guts. Get on our website, lindseygraham.com. $5 or $10 goes a long way.
I'm getting overwhelmed. Yeah, okay. Lindseygraham.com, help me.
You're right. That was so much better than even I thought it was going to be. That was great.
It's so great because like there's a point where like Sean Hannity has him on his show and he's like, all right, Lindsey, say your piece. I need to go to break. And he's like, all right, make your last plea for cash. He's being outraised 2-to-1 and he's taking it to a different level this week because now he's asking for an investigation into Act Blue, which is just a way that people who are human beings can give like $2 to a political cause. So Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, who has seen a tsunami of Democratic small dollar donations flood to the South Carolina candidate race for Jamie Harrison, who's running against, says the sources of the massive amounts of money flowing through Act Blue and other groups need to be reviewed by policymakers. And his actual quote was, where is all the money coming from Act Blue coming from? How easy would it be to just have a bunch of prepaid credit cards? Like he is scheming, trying to find out how people would come together and how these like nefarious folks would have this giant plan. When really the simplest explanation is like, people just hate you, dude.
Well, if I were Lindsey Graham, I would, well, I don't want to give him tips as to what to say, but I mean, he's got completely the most pathetic plea that one could imagine, you know. Basically, that I'm losing, help me win. As you say, you're losing for a reason. People feel rallied either from, you know, your constituency that existed prior to the last 4 years, or those who've seen you, you know, be an utter sycophantic, you know, moron over the last 4 years, and they've been drawn into the race and they want to see you defeated. They want to see you ground into dust. That is probably accounting for a lot of the money. So, but you're right. I'd expected to see him sort of laid bare, but boy, he really lays himself bare. It's kind of, as I say, sad. If he wasn't such an evil guy, I would consider it sad.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's people out there where I'm like, you're evil. With Lindsey Graham, I'm just like, you're sad and pathetic. But they do talk about the banality of evil. And I can't think of anything more banal than Lindsey Graham going like, and he admitted it when John McCain died and he swung from being John McCain's like best friend and previously Joe Biden's best friend into saying like, I just gotta be relevant. So I'm gonna say whatever Trump says, even though in the past he called him a race baiting bigot.
Well, he called him race baiting bigot, he called him xenophobic, he called him stupid. He had every adjective to diminish Donald Trump. And then of course, when Donald Trump won, he wants to play golf, he wants to be close to power. Trump has counted on that through his life and certainly through his presidential career. And Lindsey Graham was leading the parade to the point that you were saying, gosh, what is the compromise on Lindsey Graham? What is the problem here? You know, I mean, it really seemed to defy explanation as he had to prop up more and more lunacy that came out of the White House. So yeah, it's no surprise that he's in a fight for his political life, you know?
Yeah, we all know what the compromise on Lindsey Graham is. And if he was a Democrat, people would be like, just be you, dude. Just go do your thing. We get it. It's fine. But like, if you're a Republican, I just feel like he doesn't even need the compromise to come into play, so to speak. Like, I think that he just... Yeah. He just needs to be around power. And it's so sad. The Lincoln Project did a whole thing where like they showed maggots eating away at a carcass. And we're like, this guy's just a parasite that needs a host. So it's so sad. And the answer, Lindsey Graham, as I wrote in a lower third earlier this week, was just like, the investigation is in. The reason so many people are donating to your opponent is because you suck, period.
I think also I would say the suckiness has really come to the center and front of the stage in a way that we had never dreamt, you know, one was capable of, you know, of bringing it. And meaning, if you can sing it that loud and proud, you know, kissing Donald Trump's A, I mean, wow. Well, then you're likely going to have to suffer some of the consequences, and he's suffering them now.
Yeah. He is, and I hope he suffers them. Like, there's so much stuff that we have to plan for election night, Asher and me, when we're like producing all this stuff. We have so much stuff planned for if Lindsey Graham loses, and I'm afraid to like finish it because it might jinx it. I hope he loses. Speaking of Donald Trump, there's a lot of folks, you always wonder like, what are Trump fans thinking along the way? How are they believing that Trump has made their lives better when really as recently as this week, he's basically admitted that his tax cuts are just for the rich. But there is this video that surfaced on Reddit that is amazing that we just need to show you. It's a son trying to prove to his father that essentially, I think it's his son, that essentially, like, as much as he thinks Trump's made his life better, it actually hasn't.
No.
There's a huge difference. What Donald Trump has done for me compared to what Barack Obama did to me.
What? You're unemployed and two DUIs later. What the f*** has Trump done for you? In his presidency, you've got two DUIs and you got not at a job. My
It's so true. There was another thing by Jordan Klepper, who's been on TYT, who's fantastic, who interviewed someone who's a Trump fan at a rally and was like, how has Trump made your life better? And he's like, oh, it's made it amazing. And the response was, and the question was like, what do you do for a living? And the answer was, I'm a debt collector. That's why I've made more money. Like, it's crazy. Like, Mark, why do you think that people still cling to Trump, even though it is very clear that under the Trump administration, it has only made life better for folks who benefit from his massive tax cuts?
You know, this is really fascinating, and it's probably part of a longer conversation or, you know, more complicated, but just a couple of bullet points. There's a lot of identity, personal identity, in the choice we make about what candidate we're going to vote for or support, and particularly in the case of Donald Trump, because you're really out there in a way with a bold political choice, to be kind about it. All right. So backtracking on that is sort of backtracking on yourself. And so I really think that there is a quality of personal identity that's so far out there on the limb that you can't crawl back. It comes from, I know this comes from the world of animal rights. If you're trying to get people to give up meat or give up eating animals, and you show them all the reasons, all the cruelty, the horror, and then you show them all the, forget about that, all the health reasons they should do it. I mean, that they're shaving years off their life by consuming meat and all these other things. They still, oftentimes, particularly men, cling to their decision and their firmness about their dietary choice more than before you gave them all the explanations, which are perfectly logical. I really feel that there's overlap with the political identity. But the other thing is that I feel as though, obviously, and you saw a little bit, I thought, in that clip, that guy feels left out of the system. Like, he doesn't feel like he's enjoying any kind of economic prosperity, and he's not going to. And so here's this strong man who doesn't, you know, take smack from a bunch of libs and the mainstream media. And you know what? He sounds like I do, you know, irritated, angry, and, you know, ready for battle. I really think that accounts for a lot of his support.
So you mentioned that you produced a movie that people can watch. Was it The Game Changers? Was that the movie that you produced?
Right.
Yeah, that's about like that. And when you say that, like, I hate when people have a point that's very accurate that absolutely applies to me. That's the one. That's the one where I'm like, yeah, it's bad for me, and I love meat, and you're right. And every time I see, and it was also the other producers are like famous athletes who have absolutely like beaten it, and then you know, who have actually like won huge championships while not eating meat, and then former co-host Sam Shocker, who was on Common Room last week, who's like, yeah, I'm a vegan and all that stuff, and I supplemented my diet in ways that made it totally fine for me to like breastfeed my baby without all the things people say are like the problem with veganism. Like, yes, that is exactly it. Folks cling so tightly to these points because they're afraid to just accept new information, and that's exactly what that happened in that underground bar in the basement of that dude's house. And I do want to say,
right,
like, when it comes to like his 401k, which he said while we were bleeping stuff, he's like, my 401k is great under Trump. I just want to say that under Trump, the Dow has improved 42%, and under Obama, it improved 148%. That's it. Cut it in half because of 4 years versus 8 years, it's still fine. I know there was like a depression, but there's also the recession during the COVID situation.
During the start of the Obama administration. I mean, but again, it's less to do with facts and more to do with personal identity. You know, I'm thrown in personally with this guy, you know. And then the more you're assailed, you know, the more you're attacked, this is my point about, you know, that's why I use the parallel with the meat or with whatever. You know, Dad, you're going to take years off your life, or your doctor says your cholesterol is out of control and your blood pressure is out of control. You've got to give this meat up. Well, you know what? Screw that. No one's going to tell me what to eat. No one's going to tell me how to be, you know. And there's a quality of strength and self-empowerment in that moment. The problem is you're leading to your own undoing, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of undoing.
Yes.
Is Rudy Giuliani being undone by Borat? Borat? I said it weird. I've had two martinis. We'll have the third after the break. Don't go away. More best things ever of the week, because there are so many. I don't know if you saw this, but Rudy Giuliani, who is going after Hunter Biden because of compromat, essentially has to encounter some compromat of his own. I don't know if you saw some of the images that happened, but essentially he was caught with a young seeming girl doing some weird stuff. And it came out that it was from Borat's subsequent movie film, which is on Amazon Prime Video today, assuming you're watching the first airing of this. And so essentially, so you get the full understanding of what's going on. We're going to play a little bit of the trailer for Borat. So take a look. So you understand fully that Borat is trying to give away his daughter, who is the girl that you just saw in those photos with Rudy Giuliani handling his pants.
I'm here to give my daughter as a gift to someone close to the throne.
And a dress with real sexy peels.
This is a bag that just goes over the dress.
They're nice.
I really like this.
Let us present Sandra Jessica Parker Drummond.
So essentially, in the new movie, the new Borat Sasquin movie film, he is giving away his daughter, and he is apparently found in a room with Rudy Giuliani. So here is some more information about it. On what appear to be hidden cameras, we see Giuliani remove the girl's microphone and ask for her phone number and address as she sits down on the bed. He starts patting her backside as she removes the microphone from his pants. Giuliani then lies down on the bed and starts sticking his hands down his pants in a suggestive manner, according to the Daily Beast. But before anything can happen, Borat bursts into the room and shouts, "Put down your ihram," his preferred word for penis. "She's 15. She's too old for you." The startled Giuliani, who had no reason to believe his interviewer was underage, sits up abruptly and gets out of there as fast as he can. Quote, "Rudy, Trump will be disappointed. You are leaving hotel without golden shower," Borat yells after him, which is amazing.
Could you read that whole thing, just the first part again, a little more slowly, you would please? Really getting sexed up.
The startled Giuliani.
Can you leave Rudy Giuliani out?
You will be disappointed. You're leaving your hotel without a golden shower. Does it feel good for you, Mark Thompson?
I'm dying to see this and wondering how creepy a moment this was. I mean, do we know? I mean, it definitely seems in press reports and the way you described it and a little bit that we saw, you know, we saw the screen grab. I mean, it's not good, but I mean, on the creep meter, I'm wondering exactly where it's coming in.
It makes me so happy that this happened. Like, this is creepy and horrifying, but essentially the character, it's played by a 24-year-old actress, but the character is 15. And this image of Rudy Giuliani lying down is exactly what that piece of farts deserves. Because Rudy Giuliani has been spending the last 3 years going around the world to find some kind of compromising materials on Hunter Biden. And yes, Hunter Biden has had problems, and so has Donald Trump Jr. And so has everyone in the Trump circle. And so I don't understand how this is Trump's like big October surprise to go after Donald Trump or to Hunter Biden. But at this moment, for this information to come out about Rudy Giuliani, who's actively trying to get other people to buy into this nonsense, to expose how fragile everybody's public persona and reputation is, this is exactly what everybody needs.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, you're right that it's sort of karma repaid right away. It's pretty incredible. And as I say, I have to see it. I mean, you know, just when you thought that Sacha Baron Cohen couldn't wring any more laughs or insane moments out of the Borat character, now I'm running to Amazon Prime for, you know, for tonight's, I guess tonight when it airs, tonight's viewing of it.
Yeah.
I'd have a big Borat party were it not for COVID-19, Brad. I can't. I'm isolated. You know, I can't do it.
Everybody can't have party. It's been 14 years since everyone I knew. And I was in a frat. And I guess more than 14 years ago, 16 years ago. I was in a frat. Everybody do Borat voice.
I was wondering why you did it so well. That's why.
Because everyone reminds you. It was a thing that you had to do. It was like Austin Powers.
That was Ali G when you were in the frat, was an Ali G.
It was absolutely. Yeah,
man, so great. I mean, Ali G was just the best.
Booyakasha. All right, we don't have a lot of time, so let's.
Of course we don't. Of course we don't.
No one has any time.
There's a lot of stuff to do. We don't have much time to do it.
Let's get into Tiffany Trump, and that sounded weird, but it'll all make sense. So Tiffany Trump is one of those people you feel bad for until she opens her mouth. Here she is opening her mouth to talk to the LGBTQ plus people, and of course getting that acronym completely wrong.
So let me just say how excited I am to be here in this room with probably so many of my friends. I bet I see a few of you already in here. It's such an honor. I love you. It's truly, it's such an honor to be able to be here and speak truthfully, honestly, and from my heart. I know what my father believes in. Prior to politics, he supported gays, lesbians, the LGBTQIA plus community, okay?
I don't know if I've heard of the LGBTQIAA+.
Thank you. I was going to ask about the IA. Is IA legitimately the initials that are being added or not?
I have not heard of that literally ever in my life.
LGBTQIA. I always assume it's that I have missed it. Like I missed the memo, but you haven't. So the IA is not legit.
There's an I. There's intersex, but there's not. There's a T. There's a couple T's that people have put in. But there's
it should be LGBTQI plus.
Yeah, and various other things, but it's like very obvious that she has not really grasped this. And that in that moment, it becomes clear that she is like, well, I got to do what Ivanka's doing, whatever she's doing. It's such a sad, like small family problem. She's like, I've never been in the clique. And I want to be now. And Barron's tall, so people know things about him. No one knows anything about me. So sad.
Well, now what, you know, I'm reading all these different books, Michael Cohen's book and the Bob Woodward book. And I lose track of where this comes from. And it might have just been a media report, but there is a report that it's Ivanka that Trump is always feeling you should send into a meeting because guys just can't think straight when Ivanka's in the room.
I'm affected by her when I see her, yes.
Right. And so you're right. I mean, Laura has to feel like, you know, I can bring some boys to the yard.
Or whatever. Tiffany. I don't know. Yes. Laura, Tiffany, sorry, Eric's love. Wife. There's a whole family tree we can go through. Right. I do want to show folks some of the dancing when she did appear.
Okay. So she did bring boys to the yard. Let me see.
She did. She's kissing. There's a weird hand motion and a definite non-understanding of the human body movement situation. Waving happens near your head, not out toward people. And the shoulder coquettishness is just so sad. Now, I would like to compare Tiffany's shimmy shake to her father Donald's shimmy shake, which he did recently. This is a more downward, angry convulsion situation. Whereas
you can read a lot of anger into that, can you, Brett? anger and desperation and fear.
I just inhaled part of the olive. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine. But he did that.
The movie film of Trump.
So it's that. He knows he's bad at dancing is the thing. I don't think Tiffany knew she was bad until that moment occurred.
Yeah.
She's like confident. She'll learn.
You can make it. You can make it. You can make bad dancing work for you. But they're not about that.
Exactly, because they're not self-aware enough. You have to be a certain level of self-aware where you're just like, this is bad and everyone knows it. But they're like, Trump's like, I'm bad, but he literally said he can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and no one would care. So I guess he knows he can be bad and no one knows. So sad. I do want to, in the last few moments that we have, compare him to a previous president, George W. Bush. There's a butt shake happening.
Wow.
How does Trump compare to George W. Bush?
George W. Bush is the real thing, though. He's trying to really sell it. Trump is sort of, his view is, you know, this is beneath me, right? That's always his, I feel, presupposition. You know, this is what they do to what? To bond with the people they're around. I mean, I don't know. George. George Bush, I can't look at him without thinking of the war in Iraq.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, is like, you have two guys, like Trump is actively crappy to everyone in the universe. And he doesn't care, and he knows he's terrible. George W. Bush thinks he's helping folks and being just super Christian. And the problem is, like, George W. Bush was actually funny. And Trump is incidentally funny, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of someone who is genuinely funny and fantastic, thank you, Mark Thompson, for joining us. That's all the time we have on the Happy Hour.
It's a good thing, because I have to open up another bottle of a classic vintage. And this has been a delightful way to get through a glass or five of wine. I love you, Brett. As I say, you always make me smile and laugh in a world that has less smiles and fewer laughs than it used to have. So thank you for that. And thank you for letting me visit.
Tell us about your wildly successful radio show and every way people can find more of your
You can find me on my podcast, which is called The Edge with Mark Thompson. You have to put the "with Mark Thompson" in, otherwise there are 100 other shows called The Edge. My show that Brett is so kindly including is on KGO Radio. You can find it on the TuneIn app. You can find it on the iHeartRadio app. You can find it at KGOradio.com. It's on KGO Radio. It's just put KGO 810, which is the, you know, where it is on the, I'm up against Rush Limbaugh or some crap. Who the hell knows what I'm up against? But we're winning. The ratings are great. So it's really cool, and trying to be something of a more progressive voice in all the madness. But thank you for mentioning it. You know how I feel about you. I adore you, and I'd give you a big COVID hug, but fortunately we're separated, so you don't need to worry about that.
There we go. I have no worries in the world, and you make me feel full of heart. Thank you so much, Mark Thompson. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next time on the Happy Half Hour.